Over the last number of weeks, since Easter, we've been reflecting on the journey of the followers of Christ as they moved from that roller coaster weekend, Easter weekend, and from the time when Jesus was betrayed, his conviction, and then eventually he was killed, and then, of course, Easter Sunday where he was resurrected. And we've been focusing on that time between Christ's resurrection, the time that he was here where he revealed himself to his followers in different ways and at different times, through his ascension, when he ascended up into heaven and his affirming of his promise to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And then last Sunday, as a church, we celebrated Pentecost, the dramatic outpouring of God's Spirit, and then the immediate impact of his outpouring on his people, as thousands of people in Jerusalem, as they were witness to what was taking place, as Peter stood up and preached, made a commitment, and they surrendered their lives to Christ and said, "We want to become his followers." And the church, it says, over 3,000 were added to their number on that day. As Christ followers, we have been reflecting on this journey for over 2,000 years. From the birth of the church and its expansion from that point to today. And even in my own personal reflection on this journey, I've been reminded that the church becoming the church took shape actually in a much more intimate setting than even a room of 120 or more people. That gathering on the day of Pentecost in the room, it says that there were 120 gathered there of men and women, and there was probably more than that. And yet, I'm reminded that the church, the people of God, it took shape in a much more intimate setting than even that great number of people. What we now know as the church and its multitude of different expressions, it took shape in the life that was shared together by Jesus and his disciples and his followers. That's really where the church took shape, in those moments when Jesus walked with his disciples, those he had called to himself, and over a period of 3 years as he shared his life, as he poured his life into them, and as they experienced the ups and downs of this journey together. It was in that time that the church took shape. The story of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it identifies that Jesus called apart 12 disciples from the many who followed him. Many saw and witnessed to what Jesus did and what he taught. But out of those many, Jesus called and set apart 12. And as he set apart these 12, he gave them the authority to do the things that he did. He gave them authority. He spoke to them. He said, "You will do what I have done. And I give you now authority to be this group of apostles, to lead forward." Jesus invited them into a relationship with himself, and in so doing, he poured his life into them. And as they shared together, they experienced a small taste of what God was doing in sending Jesus to earth. And it was all preparing them for his departure, because Jesus was really preparing to leave. And in that period of time that he was with his disciples, he was sharing life together with them. He was pouring his life into them. He was preparing them for his departure. And now as they waited and they prayed, God poured out his Holy Spirit. And this was only the continuation of Jesus inviting his followers into a relationship with himself. A relationship that was to be marked by not only a knowledge in their heads, but it was to be marked by an experience, a deep life-changing experience, that they would learn, but that they would grow, and that they would become more and more like Jesus himself. Jump from that outpouring over 2,000 years ago to today, to our present day, and to this gathering even here at King's Community Church. Many things have changed. We live in an era, a different time, and we may even think that, well, we're much more advanced than this seemingly backward, uneducated group of disciples. Well, maybe things have changed a lot, but one thing has not changed. We are still, every one of us is still invited into a relationship with Jesus Christ, invited to share together life with him and to experience what it means to become more and more like him. We are all invited to grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that really brings me into the focus of this talk this morning. Do you go to the next slide, please? And this is really the first of three talks that we're going to have over the next three Sundays. This Sunday, next Sunday, and then the following. It's related to the mission and to the vision of King's Community Church. As we approach the end of a year of ministry, being June, we prepare also with our sights set on the beginning of a next ministry year in September. We want to take this time to talk about why we exist as a church in this community. And as we do, we want to be encouraged about how this unfolding in our community challenges us to see areas where we need to allow God to stretch us and change us. You can go back a couple of slides. There. That's good, yep. King's Community Church is an intergenerational community of worshipers in North Oakville, Ontario. We exist to pursue God through authentic, experienced relationship with Christ, and we believe this will transform our lives, our city, and our world. This is kind of like the big picture statement of who we are as a church and why we exist. And really encompassed in that is a briefer statement which we're probably more familiar with, in that we are a people who pursue God and we desire to see lives transformed. Go to the next slide. And we have used this image of three pillars or three arms of influence which help us to see this vision unfolded in the life of our church. We have talked about grow, and we've talked about this pillar of being anything to do that helps us become more and more like Christ. It's really about the discipleship component of our church, how we are at work through different ministries and through our relationships at seeing Christ formed in us. That's what this whole component or this pillar of grow is about, seeing Christ formed in us. The next part is connect, and that's what we'll talk about next week. And this has to do with the things that we do to encourage and grow relationships within the body of Christ, within us as a fellowship. How do we connect with one another? How can we foster a sense of greater sense of community within our church? And then the last one is serve, which is the expression of Christ's love in acts of service in our extended community, and also in the service that is done within our church. So it's kind of a double component. It's everything that we do as we serve out of a sense of love, a sense of devotion, a sense of worship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just as the base statement here this morning, to remind us that we are all, every one of us is invited to grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk a little bit about grow and talk about what that could look like, or maybe encourage us and even challenge us. As I said earlier, Jesus' pattern was that he chose 12 disciples. He chose 12 men who he called close to himself, and he really shared life together. And within that 12 group of individuals, he also chose three who even had a deeper relationship with, a more intimate relationship with. And so there is this sense that Jesus valued that sense of pouring in and walking and sharing life together. This is the record of his ministry in the Gospels. It's kind of like he gave these 12 on-the-job training. And sometimes I wonder, as I read the stories of the disciples with Jesus, I wonder if they even realized what he was doing. It's kind of like, oh yeah, this is cool. Yeah, we get to be a part of this as they walk along and just kind of share life together with Jesus. And then before you know it, oh, we're supposed to do that. Oh, okay. I didn't know that was part of the deal. Well, I'm sure it was part of the journey as they got to know Jesus, as he shared life together with them. And so they were trained as they lived and worked with Jesus. They learned and they grew as they spent time with Jesus. And most of what they learned was probably caught and not even taught. I mean, they learned specific skills. To the question, the big question they had to him, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus went through and he taught them how to pray. He gave them and he demonstrated them. He modeled before them and he taught them how to pray. And he gave us this great model of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which is really a simple model of prayer. And he used that as a way to teach his disciples to pray. He taught his disciples people skills. They were together as a group, and there were some kids who were just making noise, and they were just kind of being troublesome and just kind of wanting to come close to Jesus. And the disciples, they thought, oh, we got to take care of this. And so they said, you know, kids, you just back off. You go find your place. But Jesus said, no. Let the little children come to me. In fact, everyone who will come to me and accept my kingdom has to become like one of these children. And Jesus, in teaching that, he picked up those children that were around him and he gathered them to himself and he blessed them. And so he taught his disciples people skills. Sometimes he also taught them something about the dynamics of their relationships as a group as they had some infighting. And Jesus would talk to them and said, you know, don't worry about who's the greatest, because the greatest will be the least among you. And so he challenged them with that idea of just relating one to another. He taught them about logistics. I mean, remember the big meal on the mountaintop? 5 loaves, 2 fish. And Jesus said, organize these people and feed them. Well, they didn't know what to do. And so they could organize the people. Jesus prayed a prayer of blessing and provided the food, and they began to hand out the food. And then afterwards, they gathered all that was left over. And so Jesus taught them about crowd control and logistics, and also in that, also a sense of provision and faith. Jesus taught them about acceptance of others. I think of the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, a woman who was cast out, who was not accepted, and yet Jesus came to her and engaged her in conversation. And when the disciples said, oh, you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't be doing this, Jesus said, no, this is what I'm about. This is what I came to do, to reach those who have been outcast. He taught them about being sent on a mission. He said, go together, go in pairs, take nothing for the journey, allow yourselves to be hosted by people, shake the dust off your feet if you get rejected, all these different elements of being sent on a mission. He taught them these skills. He gave them other life skill training. They learned as they journeyed together and as they shared together. Those were just some of the things that Jesus taught. But I think there were a few things that stand out to me. Some things that I believe he continues to invite us to learn. Sure, we can learn from those other life skills, but I believe there are some things that we should give attention to this morning. In fact, these are some things that he talked about in his last time together with his disciples, just before he went to the cross. As we consider that Jesus invites all of us to grow. Jesus invites all of us to grow. These are some things that Jesus has invited his disciples. He invites us to grow in, even this morning. He invites his disciples. He invites us to grow in love, to grow in faith, and to grow in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's consider what it means to be invited to grow in love. In John 13, 34 to 35, it says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The context of this passage, this statement, Jesus is together with his disciples. They're gathered in the last meal together. And Jesus has come together with his disciples, and everybody's kind of taking care of their thing. But nobody had thought to wash their feet. Nobody had thought to serve. And so Jesus he picked up a towel. And it says, this is how he demonstrated the fullest extent of his love. He picked up a towel and a basin and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. Those who had been following him, on the pyramid scale, on the leadership, he was the leader and they were the followers. And yet he came down and he demonstrated his love to them by serving them. It says he showed them the full extent of his love. I think when it comes to growing in love, there's probably not a lot of There's not any discussion about the need to grow in this area. We can all grow in the aspect of love. We're grown to grow in our love for God and our love for people. I mean, when I think of our love for people, it's the question I have is, what's easier? Is it easier to love those who are closest to us, or is it easier to love those who are far away? I think sometimes it's easier for us to love at a distance, because the closer we get, the closer relationship we get, the harder it is to follow through on love. The challenge when it comes to love and growing in love, and even as the disciples learnt it with this statement, this new commandment, love each other as I have loved you, you should love each other. The challenge is for us to allow ourselves to get close enough to know each other and to be known, to get close enough so that we are loving, but that we are also able to receive love. It's easier, I think, to love from a distance, because it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I can take care of that. I can send something. I can do something. But I don't have to get my hands really dirty and involved. But yet, the love that we are to grow in is the love for each other, the love for one another, as Jesus had said. And in fact, this is the love that will identify us, that will prove us to be Christ's disciples. It's that nitty-gritty, down deep and dirty love where we walk together in challenge that proves us to be the disciples, the followers of Christ. In our small groups in this last last 2-3 months, we've had two different specific small groups, but there's been a young adults group that's been going, and the youth, the senior highs have been having a small group as well, and then there's been a Bible study, a morning Bible study group with a few ladies. And the story, what I've experienced firsthand, but also some of the stories that I've heard, is that in this context of a small group, as we study God's word, as we ask questions, as we pray together, it's an opportunity to touch on those areas of our lives with sensitivity and with authenticity. And sometimes it's just an opportunity to begin to scratch the surface, to really live out this call to love. And so even as we consider, well, we have small groups as a part of our ministry, as a part of what we do as a church, and yet I can see this as an aspect of finding the ways that we can as a church grow in ministering one to another, in growing in love, as we open ourselves to these opportunities of relationship through small groups, through studying God's word, through praying together, through allowing trust to grow, and then allowing love to grow. I know there's been a couple of times when, just in the last few weeks, as I've sat in the small group, as I've participated, and just listening, but also as I hear the sharing, as there's such a sweet sense of love and acceptance, as different people share their stories and a sense of coming together and saying, yes, we stand with you. One time we were praying, and as a small group, there was a number of specific prayer requests that came up just that night, and the theme was being very specific about prayer. And so people were just sharing different things that just specifically needed prayer for. And it was amazing. Within 24 hours, now I wasn't included in the list, but my wife was, because it was a group of ladies, right? So they just kind of connected, and it just kind of went that way. One prayer after another that we had prayed for in our small group that evening, says, yeah, this has happened. This is taken care of. This was good. This, we got to pray more specific, more often. And it was just a great sense of encouragement. I thought, you know, that's love growing, as trust is growing, as there's authenticity, as there's a sense of opening up and sharing life together. Again, it's just a small part of it, and it's not, sometimes it's about baby steps, moving from one thing to the next, not just jumping into this, okay, let's build a commune and gather together and just all live under one house. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about peeling back some of the layers of our lives so that we allow one another to be known, to share life together, and to love and to be loved. This is what the invitation to grow in love is about. When Jesus commands us and says, I give you this new command, love each other as I have loved you. How did Christ love? He loved fully. He gave completely of himself. He says, in this way you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So may we grow in love. Our love for God, but also, and I see this as a real strong part of who we are as a church and can be, that we would grow in our love for one another. That as we love one another, we would demonstrate to the world, to the communities, as we welcome them to our place, to as we welcome them into our relationships, we demonstrate and prove that we are Christ's disciples. And so we're invited to grow in love. We're also invited to grow in faith. Also part of this conversation with the disciples before he went to the cross, Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Again, think about the context of this time. Here the disciples are with Jesus, and they're stressed out about talk about Jesus leaving. They're stressed out. What are we going to do? Jesus is leaving. He's talking about going somewhere. He's going away. You just got here, Jesus. Things are just heating up in a good way. I mean, this is great. You're doing these miracles and, you know, people just following you. And wow, this is awesome. Of course, the disciples had seen some great miracles. They had seen great healings. They had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. They've been a part of a few as well. And mentioned the feeding of 5,000. They were a part of that. But now Jesus says he is about to leave. What I did and what I have been doing, you will do in my name. He is challenging them. He is pushing them in some ways to grow in faith, to trust God, to trust that Jesus will work through them and do these things in and through them. Jesus is still inviting us to grow in faith. Boy, we need that. We need to be challenged. We need to grow in faith. A couple of years ago, God impressed upon Nigel, part of our own church here, and impressed upon him, and he came and shared with me and with Julia and with others this heart challenge to ask God for people to be healed. Remember when you came and we talked about it, and we talked about it again, and a number of times you've gathered people, and you know, initially it was like, oh yeah, okay, but it just, there was this persistent sense in your heart that said, no, we need to pray for people to be healed, specifically to see them healed. And we began a journey, and a prayer ministry has grown out of that. And we have people now regularly being prayed for, not only here in our prayer corner, but through emails and different specific things. And we have seen how God has honored the prayer of his people, and that people have been healed. We've heard testimonies of people within our congregation and even outside of our congregation as an extension of those prayers who have been healed. Faith is asking. Faith is being willing to step out and say, yes, God, we believe that you said you would do this, and so we're going to trust you to do it. We're not manipulating it. We're not trying to make it happen on our own, but there is a sense of, you said it, we want to believe it, and so we're going to trust you. As a church, as individuals, we are all invited to grow in faith. There are aspects in our lives where we simply need to bow down before God and say, God, you do it. We want to trust in you. Jesus made the promise and says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And the Son, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We're invited to grow in faith, not so that we would be built up, not so that we would feel good about ourselves, not that we would be able to even put it on a banner and say, look how great we are as a church. Look how great I am as a follower of Christ. No, we are invited to grow in faith so that the glory would go to the Father, that Jesus Christ would receive the glory. That's what it's all about. As we take steps of faith, trusting God, asking God for miracles in our lives and in our families and in our church, when God does it, as he does it, not when, but as he does his work among us, it brings glory to the Father. And so we are invited to grow in faith. And we're invited to grow in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:26, again, part of the same conversation, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, and I will remind you of everything I have told you. Jesus was saying as long as he stayed, everything would be the same. But Jesus didn't physically stay. He promised his disciples, he promised his followers that he would send another like him. He would send the Holy Spirit. And the disciples, Jesus was saying, were to look to the Holy Spirit, to depend upon the Holy Spirit to lead them, to guide them in all truth. They were not to rely only on their own understanding, but they were to rely on how the Holy Spirit leads them and reminds them of the things that Jesus had taught. And so as Jesus is preparing to go, he gives them this promise, this reminder, and says, I won't be here physically with you, but I will send another who is just like I am. In fact, he was part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would lead them, would remind them all the things that they had forgotten, that they had stored away, that they didn't even notice. The Holy Spirit would bring it to their attention and would lead them as they followed. I said this earlier, and I said how often we may think we are enlightened, we are wise, we have lots of information, we have lots of data. I think that the more we know, it gives us more reason for us to grow in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Because the more we know and the more information we have, we need to discern his truth amidst all the truth that is fighting for our attention. We need to be reminded of what Jesus said and did in the midst of all the information, all the things that we have happening around us, good information, good things that we know and have access to. We need to be reminded of what Jesus said and what Jesus did. There are a lot of ideas out there that are fighting to be heard. And it's easy to give in to the ones that shout out the loudest. And the Holy Spirit, in his character, he is gentle and quiet. We need to be actively listening. We need to be in relationship with him, a relationship of dependence. And so as a church, we want to continue to cultivate a spirit of prayer. We want to be listening. We want to look at all the different resources that we can find and work in that sense. And we've talked about it in a number of different series that we've preached and emphasis that we've had about spiritual discipline, about a spiritual direction, and just finding out and taking that step back to journey with Jesus, a listening, depending upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm really excited about a couple of people in our church who are involved in something that is becoming more and more popular, but it's becoming more and more about the fabric of the church, and that's a spiritual direction. Steve Jones is a spiritual director, or he's on a journey, a pathway towards spiritual direction, but Diana Pressey is also on a journey towards spiritual direction. And what that is having somebody, they're being trained to walk alongside those who are seeking to grow in their dependence in the Holy Spirit. Really, isn't that what it is, Steve? Isn't that what it is to learn to listen, to learn to discern? I know I'm walking a little bit with you as well in my life, just in some of those things, but it's really about having somebody who walks alongside. And so to have them as a resource, as a part of our church, is exciting. But I think it's an invitation to all of us to grow in our dependence on the Holy Spirit, to learn to listen, and then to follow. As we focus on these different pillars, grow, connect, and serve, we also want to introduce to you individuals on our board of stewards who are specifically championing this part within our board and within our church. And so you don't have to get up here, but I'm going to ask Meredith and Steve, if you would just stand just where you are. Meredith and Steve are both a part of our board of stewards, and they are championing the cause or the pillar of grow within our board of stewards. So thank you. What we have asked them to do is really to be the eyes, another pair of eyes and ears in the life of our congregation, just to be aware, to be discerning of this whole aspect of grow formation, discipleship in the life of our church. If you have questions or if you even have ideas or thoughts that God is speaking to you about, you think, oh, you know, I just can't get through that line up there that, you know, or, you know, talking to Paul or talking to Julia, there's, you know, just can't get through it. No, that's not really the issue. But sometimes it's just a matter of, you know what? I'm going to go talk to Steve. I'm going to talk to Meredith. This is something that God's speaking to me about in the area of formation, spiritual formation in the life of the church. And so that's what they're a part of our board. And as a part of our conversation, they're just sharing how they feel and how that is unfolding in the life of our church. So as I bring this to a close here, two questions I want to ask you. The first one is a specific question to you related to your own relationship with Christ. Is there one area that I am personally challenged to grow in, where I can accept Christ's invitation to grow in this aspect of my relationship with Him? What is one area? One area that maybe we've talked about this morning, whether it's in the area of love, the area of faith, the area of depending on the Holy Spirit. What is one area in my relationship with Christ that I'm challenged to grow in? If there's anything that comes to your mind, and I encourage you just to say yes. Yes, God, begin that work of growth in me. And then the second question has to do with the whole life of the body of Christ or the life of the church. The second question didn't show up in there. Second question is, what is one area that I am challenged to contribute to the growth of another by sharing life together with them? And so it's not about just growing myself, but how can I contribute to another person by sharing my life, my experience, whether it's in a discipleship relationship, whether it's even, you know, making a commitment to be a part of a small group, to be a part of a friendship, a spiritual friendship, where I can begin to share what God has taught me with someone else. Again, it's about making oneself available. Here, Lord, here am I. Use me. I make myself available to you. One of the studies that we did in our small groups, Max Lucado shared an illustration which really blew me away. It was the illustration of a father taking his child by the hand and walking across the road, across the street. You think, well, what's so profound about that? Well, the way that he was describing, that's what our relationship with our Father in heaven is like, in that he invites us to do one job, and that's to hold the hand of the Father, and then he will lead us and guide us. Sometimes when we think about grow, and we think about discipleship, and we think about the journey of spiritual formation, we think, oh man, there's all these things I need to do. I need to memorize more scripture. I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to be witnessing. I need to be involved in this. Man, where am I going to fit this in my schedule? All this stuff that I need to grow to become more like Christ. Can I just ask you to push that all aside just for a moment? You have one job as a child of the Father, of the God Almighty. One job. Take the Father by the hand and let him walk you across the road. You know, when the Father, when you as a father or a mother take your child in your hand and you want to lead them across the road, maybe to the playground on the other side, you don't let go of their hand and stand on the side of the road and say, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do this, 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 and then you get to the playground. You got to look both ways. You got to go by the crossway. You got to do all this and all these things. No. You take the child by the hand and you walk them across the street. We have one job, and that's to put our hand in the Father, abide in Him, trust in Him. We're invited to grow in love, invited to grow in faith, invited to be dependent, to grow in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And it all happens in that one hand grip. In the hand of the Father, let's take the Father's hand and hold him and let him teach us and help us to grow, to become more and more like Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 21, which I'll close with as a prayer. The Apostle Paul is just summing up all these great and lofty things about God and what he wants to do in our lives and what he has done, what he has accomplished. And he ends his thoughts with a prayer, and he says, "When I think of all of this, all the greatness, all the goodness, all what God has done, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and on earth, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And I pray that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen."